This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, protector of one and all. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions, and blessings upon the believers until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not prohibit us and our offspring from being from amongst them. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, sisters and dear listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses, the opening verses of this evening's Taraweeh, explains what is righteousness. Righteousness is not just for a person to fulfill his or her salah on time, 5 salah in the day, and give out zakah, and that's it. That is not what righteousness is, but it is made up of much more than that. Which means, yes, one must ensure that the salah is in place, and the zakah is in place, and the duties are in place. Over and above that, one must ensure that his or her character and conduct towards others is also intact and in place according to the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, righteousness is not only that you face the east or the west. Righteousness is not that you face the east or the west. This is regarding the Qibla. However, the righteous person is the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes in the final day. And we all know belief in the final day means we should become conscious of our deeds, bearing in mind that we are going to be asked about everything we have done in our lives. If we have engaged in an act that we are ashamed of, an act that is a sin, it is never too late for as long as we are breathing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Allah accepts the tawbah of his worshipper for as long as that worshipper has not arrived at a point known as gharghara, which we might term as sakaratul maut. The last final points when the malaika have come, now it is too late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawbah before that day. Remember, this is the month of mercy. Each one of us should feel so happy that we are in the month of Ramadan. It is not the month of doom. In fact, the month is divided into 3 categories. The first part of it is rahmah. It is mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part of it is maghfira, which means forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third part of it is freedom from hellfire. So no part of the month of Ramadan is a part of doom, where the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must feel that they are doomed and they are going to enter the fire of Jahannam. Yes, if a person is not bothered about his or her duties during the month of Ramadan, then let that feeling make this person come back on track. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us all back on track, inshallah. So each one of us must make sure that we believe in Allah and we believe in the last day. We believe in the fact that whatever we have done, Allah is going to question us. One more point before I move to the next issue that righteousness is, or that righteousness includes. One more point is that We should understand that whenever we have engaged in tawbah, even the angels who are placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write our deeds are made to forget that we have actually sinned. Imagine, the place that we have sinned in, it is reported that even the bricks and the various other items that exist around that particular place where we sinned in would bear witness on the day of Qiyamah. But if we have engaged in tawbah, even they are made to forget what happened on that day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincere tawbah. Then Allah says, righteousness is also to believe in the angels, to believe in all the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in Jesus, may peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, Moses, may peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. In principle, we acknowledge that a book was revealed to Isa alayhi salatu wassalam as well as Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. But if that book is brought to us in the original form, which is impossible, we would then begin to acknowledge these verses as well, because the original form of the Bible and the Torah do not contradict the Quran. But the form that is present today, the forms of the Bible that are present today, not only contradict what is said in the Quran, but they contradict one another. Each version contradicts another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us all. And righteousness is also that we believe in all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. We are not allowed to blaspheme any of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Similarly, recently when there were cartoons that were drawn against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yes, we all felt it. But the same applies when people said what they said against Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Films were produced against Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. We should have a similar feeling in our hearts, because Jesus, may peace be upon him, is also a Nabi of Islam, and he is also a prophet of Islam who is revered and respected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Let us not be fooled. Because the Christians believe in Jesus and they have raised his rank higher than he actually is, that does not mean we must begin to forget about the fact that he too is a Nabi of Islam. May Allah grant us acceptance and iman in all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam in the correct manner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and righteousness includes giving away your wealth. Not only zakah, over and above zakah, to give away your wealth, acknowledging that Allah has given me, let me also spend part of it. That is not easy. We all know the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they were asked for wealth, what did they do? They gave, even before they were asked, a lot of them. And some of them, when they were asked, they gave half of their wealth and all their wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to ponder over that and to think, how much are we ready to part with? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. So, to spend wealth, though one would love the wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ala hubbihi. Ala hubbihi, two things are meant by this. One is the fact that a person loves wealth and still they spend it. And the other is the fact that a person loves the poor person. We are meant to be loving those who are underprivileged, so that that love for them within us can draw us and drive us to giving them. If we hated those who are underprivileged, we would never be able to give them. Similarly, when we give our zakah especially, and our lillah, and our sadaqat, we must always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there are people who are needy who have come to us. And we must not give it in a boastful manner. We must not give it in a manner that we display haughtiness and arrogance above those. No, if it was not for them, there is a great possibility that this farad would not have been accepted. In the same way, we respect the masjid because we fulfill our salah in the masjid. And had it not been for that masjid, one wonders what would have happened to our Jummah and our Eids and so on. In the same way, we should be respecting the poor person, because without that poor person, one wonders what would have happened to all our zakah. There is a hadith which says one of the signs of Qiyamah will be that people will have so much wealth that no one will be mustahiq and needy, and no one would be qualified enough for us to give them zakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not show us that day. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fulfilling salah, establishing the salah. Salah is not just a set of motions and words and actions that we should just engage in for the sake of engaging in. No, we need to establish the salah, understanding what is it that we are meant to be achieving by the salah. Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed rules and regulations for all of us? And in order to make easy for us the adoption and acceptance and the fulfilling of these rules and regulations, He has prescribed salah and sawm and so on. How does this help? In salah, are we not taught to control our eyes? There is nothing wrong in the masjid, but we are taught to look down on the ground. In the same way, outside salah, we should also be controlling our eyes. So if we are to fulfill salah in the correct way, would it not help us to control our eyes outside salah? The same applies with walking. We are not allowed to walk in salah. We've got to stand exactly where we are meant to be standing, unless there is need to take a step or two in one direction. If not, your salah would be broken if you were to walk in salah. So we are taught to control our movements. The same way outside salah, we should be understanding, where are we going? We should not go to a place that would earn the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even in salah, we are not moving, because movement would also earn the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. So Allah says, that is righteousness. And He continues to say, righteousness includes also giving out zakah. Previously, I just mentioned moments ago, the giving of wealth besides zakah. But even zakah itself, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that too is part of righteousness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of fulfilling the promise is also part of righteousness. How many of us are guilty of making a promise and thereafter not even fulfilling it? Going back on our word, there was a time when the tongue was enough and Muslims were trusted. Today, people look at each other and say, I do not trust, even if you write it and you have witnesses to sign, let us go to the lawyers and make a document and an agreement. Then still you find people reneging and turning away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. That is not righteousness. If we'd like to achieve righteousness, we must make sure that we stick to our word, even if it results in a loss against us. If we've said something, we want the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stick to your word, unless the person whom you have promised has forgiven you for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. And then Allah says, righteousness also includes patience, forbearance, steadfastness at times of difficulty and war. May Allah make it easy for us to accept calamity when it comes in our direction. And may He never test us with tests that are too big to pass. Do you know that at times people complain about not having children? We should understand the best decision is that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has not given you children, that is the best for you. Yes, it does not mean we shouldn't try. We should try whatever is in our means, whatever is within the sharia, but it should not depress us. There are people who have children, abundance, many children, and they don't want those children because the children have been a burden on their parents at times. Some may be on drugs. Some may be buying and selling alcohol or even drinking alcohol. Some may be engaged in other evil deeds. Some may be even going against their own parents. And it may result in difficulty for those parents. So there is a possibility and a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant a person children because He wants to save them from difficulty. We need to look at it from a different angle. Every time something comes in our direction, let us look at it from a different angle. Coming from a country, Zimbabwe, we all know, or we may have heard, what the media says about the country. But whenever I am asked, I always say, Alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong. We are surviving. We are okay. Remember, a problem is, or the size of a problem depends on what is within your brain. It depends on how you would like to perceive it, how much you would like to make of it. You can have all your family die in a car crash. May Allah save us all. If you understand that that is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best decision, maybe they were not good enough in ibadah, so Allah wanted to give them martyrdom in another way. Free martyrdom. And Allah wanted to give them Jannah without hisab kitab because they were involved possibly in deeds that were not correct or deeds that were regarded as sin in Islam. So Allah caused their death in a different way so that He could take them and drag them to Jannah without hisab, without kitab. And here we are busy complaining, Ya Allah, why did you take them away? So we need to look at every problem and every difficulty in the angle that Islam has taught us. Remember, righteousness is to agree and admit that whatever Allah's decision is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only is it the only decision, but it is the best decision. If a person is sick, his leg has been amputated, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone sabr. That is the best thing that could have ever happened to that particular person, whether we like it or not. And I have said it here. Why? There is a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the act of worship known as sabr that that person engaged in, and thereafter bring them into the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us not complain about the amputation of this and that. People might be dying of cancer, might be dying of other diseases. Some people's little children, few years old, have died and they begin to complain. That is a weakness in Iman. There is a chance that our deeds may not be that grand to get us into Jannah. So Allah takes a little child of ours away for many reasons. Maybe that child might have grown up to be disobedient, so Allah had mercy on the child. And possibly, we might not have been deserving Jannah, but that child will be waiting on the day of Qiyamah to pull us through without hisab, without kitab. Why do we need to complain? Understand, the decree of Allah is the best. No matter what happens, a huge robbery can take place. That is the best for us. This is what is righteousness. If we do not understand this, then there may be a weakness in our iman. We need to build our iman. Thus, we will be building, inshallah, righteousness. Sorry for interrupting. There is an announcement that needs to be made. There is a car, a Peugeot ND545649, which is blocking quite a few cars in the car park. Don't feel embarrassed to get up. It is an act of worship to get up and move, inshallah, to rectify the parking of the vehicle, to earn reward, as well as to return and to continue listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. I'm sure it is not done intentionally. The same applies, I heard a mobile phone ringing whilst we were in salah. Let me mention to you that I don't think anyone would do that purposely. But what is of a greater sin is the way people swear, huge swear words, looking at that person immediately after salam. That is worse than the ringing of the mobile. And just to mention the ruling, if a mobile phone happens to ring whilst you are in salah, with a swift movement of your hand, put your hand in your pocket and switch it off so it does not continue to disturb. Even if you have to break your salah because you don't know exactly how to switch off that phone or what is going on, you may break your salah and restart it from where you left off, rather than earn the wrath of the rest of the musallis before you even earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point I'm stressing on today is something else. It is, let us not embarrass someone whose phone rang out of error. After the two rakats or few rakats of salah, we turn, we look at them, we spit in their direction, and we actually swear them. That is worse than the ringing itself. Don't embarrass someone. I always say, inshallah, that will not be repeated. The same applies to someone whose car is parked in the wrong manner. Don't be embarrassed to get up, go and move your car and come back. It is an act of worship, and who knows, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something beautiful in return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sabr. And sabr has so many dimensions. I've spoken of a few tonight. May Allah make it easy for us and strengthen our iman to look at everything that happens, even what happens to the ummah at large. Some people look at the globe and they begin to ask questions. How come the Muslims are being killed? They are being fought and all these things are happening. In no ways are we saying that we should just be sitting without doing anything. The minimum we can do is to make dua. And we may be able to help them and assist them in other ways, possibly with food, with tents, with so on, with whatever they need. May Allah make it easy for us to assist them as well. But do not become depressed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to take martyrs in His path and give them Jannah in return without any reckoning. And that is only possible through something like a war. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all martyrdom in His path. And remember, martyrdom, sorry, is not only through war, but in fact, even people who have died, possibly those who have drowned, those who have been shot dead, those who may have died innocently in a car crash and so on, there is a great chance that they too will join the ranks of the martyrs. May Allah grant that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a clarification. What clarification? Do you know that many people look at the Sharia law and they begin to say that this law is barbaric? One of the reasons they mention this, they say because you execute the murderer and this death sentence is barbaric. To be honest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a few words,
وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
And definitely there is life in executing the murderer, O you who are sensible. Definitely there is life in the execution of the murderer. How is their life? Now, we should remember, if a person has murdered just one person, yes, their life, if proven without any doubt whatsoever, their life is supposed to be taken or is at the mercy of the heirs of the person whom they have murdered. And if those heirs happen to forgive, or if even one of them happen to forgive this particular person, the person is forgiven. But when a person has murdered more than one, it becomes difficult for an entire group of, or different groups of people to forgive that person. Most likely, that person would be executed as a result. So that he or she may be eliminated and that crime will not be committed again by them. Today, what do we find? Murderers are let loose and they go on to murder others. We know of people who murdered not one or two, 10, 20, 30. If Sharia law was implemented, we would find that person would have been executed the first murder they committed. And Allah says, that is life. Because as a result, you saved 34 other people, 35 other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So very beautifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and He explains. He says, in the execution of the murderer is life. But not everyone can understand this. So He says, O you with sound intellect. Think about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand that the Sharia is not backward. It is not barbaric. But what happens? Our understanding of it is very, very narrow and very, very shallow. And for that reason, we find that sometimes we too, due to weakness of Iman and Islam, we look at it and we say, yes, it is a little bit backward. Astaghfirullah. To even think that one is tampering with his or her own Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our Iman intact. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention so beautifully of the month of Ramadan and the fact that He has prescribed for us fasting in a similar manner that He had prescribed it for those before us, so that we can achieve consciousness of everything put together. Consciousness of ourselves, consciousness of the gifts that Allah has given us, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, first and last, and consciousness of all the aspects around us, consciousness of the poor person, consciousness of how much we are giving, consciousness of our mouths and so on. Imagine by fasting, what do we achieve? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us full achievement of the fast. And Allah says at the end,
يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ.
Allah intends ease for you and He does not intend difficulty. Some people think by abstaining from food it's quite difficult, and Allah might be intending difficulty upon us so that for various reasons. But Allah says, no, I intend ease for you. I want to help you fulfill the rest of your year in an easy manner, in a manner that would please me and in a manner that would become easy for you. For that reason, I have been very hard on you for this particular month regarding food. Do not eat from this point to that point, so that when you do eat, it will actually be eating with thankfulness, with appreciation, and abstaining from that which is haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. In fact, this verse is mentioned immediately after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a person who cannot fast for some reason. If a person cannot fast for some reason, then they are given permission to give a fidya in return, and still they will not be sinful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. But for those who can compensate the fast in the form of a fast, they are not allowed to give a fidya and a compensation or a monetary compensation. They need to fast later on. May Allah grant us steadfastness. And Allah says, And straight after the verses of Ramadan, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my worshippers ask you about me, I am indeed very, very close. I answer the call of the caller whenever he or she calls out to me. So let them ask me. Let them ask me and let them believe in me so that they can achieve guidance. Let us continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only forgiveness, but all our needs, bearing in mind that if we have not been given something, then that is the best that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for us. Sometimes people want to be married, and they say, make dua that Allah grants us a spouse who will be the coolness of our eyes. The dua is there, we make it, you make it, everyone makes it, but 30, 35 years later, no one has come up. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at cases of those whom others came up and they oppressed them to the degree that today they will come up to you and say, don't marry in a rush. May Allah safeguard us. So there is a possibility that Allah is saving you from evil and calamity and something that is very difficult to come later on. But we don't understand why. Again, it goes back to the weakness of iman, weakness of the comprehension of who is our creator and how much mercy he has on us. He does not want to give us something where our life will become even more difficult. So he says, wait in this condition until the time is right. And that time might never come, but whatever I have decided for you, you must believe, you must accept that it is the best decision. Then you will stop stressing. Your anxiety levels, inshallah, will be correct, meaning on the correct level. And you will stop being depressed and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Remember, I am only giving you one or two examples of the reality. But otherwise, so many other issues can fit into this particular verse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about fighting in the path of Allah. We are speaking here of jihad, the form of jihad known as going out into the battlefield. The reason I am mentioning this verse will become apparent once I explain it. Allah says,
وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ.
Go out and fight in the path of Allah those who fight you. And do not transgress. Do not go beyond the limits. For indeed Allah does not like those who go beyond the limits. Why? What is meant by this verse? This verse means we should not just go to people who have not fought us, they have not killed us, they have done nothing against us, but we have the right to retaliate and defend ourselves when someone has attacked us. That is the justice of Islam. We live and we let live. That is the rule that Islam agrees with. But when someone attacks us, we have the right to defend. And unfortunately today, when the Muslims are attacked and they defend themselves, they are then known as terrorists, forgetting the fact that the perpetrators were actually somebody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Islam is the most peaceful religion. It does not teach fighting, killing. It does not teach the killing of innocent people. It does not teach suicide and so on. So what we see on the globe today is the oppression of the other, which has then resulted in a reaction which at times has gone beyond even the limits of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us and solve the problems of the Muslim ummah. And I want to reiterate, Islam does not teach violence in no ways, but Muslims reserve the right to defend themselves and to revenge and avenge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always grant us victory over the enemies who intend to harm and damage Islam. Remember, Allah says in this verse, and I'm repeating the meaning, fight those who have fought you and do not go beyond the limits by fighting those who have not fought you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the women folk. And there is a surah that is to come in a few days' time that we will be reading, Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many rulings. But in this surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how some men unfortunately leave their women folk hanging. Neither are they living with them, nor do they want to divorce them, because they want to punish them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do that, for them there is a grave punishment awaiting them. Allah says, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Allah says, when you divorce your women, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ, and when they have got to the end of their iddah, then you should either leave them in goodness or hold them back in goodness. This is regarding the revocable talaq. That talaq wherein the period of the iddah, you may be allowed to take your wife back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you intend to take her back with goodness, take her back. If not, release her with goodness and do not hold her back in order to punish her, so that neither is she your wife nor is she free to marry someone else. Whoever does that is a very grave oppressor, and whoever does that is playing with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them is a severe punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. I challenge the men folk who are in that condition. I challenge the men folk who are in that condition to have mercy on these women whom they could not live with, and either live with them correctly or leave them with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can marry others. We would not like the disgrace of a man whose condition happens to come into public, whereby the wife is forced to go to the ulama and say, neither does this man want to live with me or fulfill my rights, nor does he want to divorce me. That is a big disgrace. For the ulama to step in and nullify a marriage, it is a very, very big mark that leaves a bad taste upon this particular gentleman who could not stand up and do what was required of him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to solve our problems firstly and keep us together as far as possible. But in the case where it is broken beyond repair, may Allah make it easy for us to leave each other in goodness, as he has mentioned in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks at the opening, or in the opening verses of the third juz. Allah says, regarding the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam and the messengers and prophets, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, those messengers, we raised some of them in rank above others. Why do I mention this here today? For a lesson that I want to extract from it. If the messengers were granted virtue over one another, surely we too amongst us, some have been granted greater virtue than others in various matters and issues. Some have more wealth, some have more knowledge, some have stronger bodies, some have been given looks and so on. So we need to acknowledge that all this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if He had created everyone uniform, imagine if we all looked alike, everybody had the same house, the same car, the same amount of money, the same job and everything, how boring would life be? Think about it for a moment. It would be so boring. We would just be a number and a figure, and we would be, or records would be kept in books, and there would be bookkeepers just to keep record of human beings, and possibly we wouldn't have names, we would have had numbers. How boring would life have been? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, He has made the tall, the short, the fat, the slim, the rich, the poor, the knowledgeable, the one who is ignorant, and so on, so that the balance, the ultimate balance, can be struck. And each one can live with the assistance of one another and harmony and peace by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of those who spend their wealth. Those who spend their wealth, Allah says there are two types. One type is similar to those who plant a seed on a smooth rock that has a little bit of soil on it. Those who plant their seeds on a smooth rock that has a little bit of soil on it. When the rain comes, rather than those seeds growing into little shoots and trees, all the soil is wiped off and the rock is bare once again. Those are the people who spend their wealth whilst boasting. Those are the people who spend their wealth showing off. Those are the people who spend their wealth and thereafter they begin to brag. This is what I did and that's what I did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, they planted the seed, but they planted it on a shining rock, smooth rock, which had a little bit of soil. They put it when the water is the mercy of Allah, when the water came down because of their expenditure. What happened? The soil was all gone neither were the seeds of any use, nor was the soil. The bare rock was shown once again. That example is given here. And Allah says, the other example is the person who spends his wealth solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as much as he can, looking for places where he can give, that this wealth can be fulfilled in the correct manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that example is the example of a person who has sown his seeds on a solid hillock, which is full of soil. When the rain comes, then the seeds grow into huge trees that produce fruit and crop, and this person benefits in every single way. Even if there is a light rainfall, meaning when there is no heavy rainfall, even a light rainfall will cause these fruits to emerge from the ground and to grow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not from amongst those who spoil their good deeds by bragging about them later on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about riba and interest. He actually says, those who don't want to, and I'm only going to mention one verse in this regard, those who do not want to give up the eating of interest, those who try to justify it by using different words and excuses, Allah says, they are announcing war against Allah and His Messenger, and it is impossible for them to win. Do you know what? The ulama have mentioned that in the same way when a person eats that which is unacceptable, let me give you the example of smoking. When a person smokes, it damages his reproductive system or hers. It damages it. And their children are born cursed already. Why do we say cursed? Physically at times. Sometimes even spiritually. Because the father and the mother to whom this child was born is actually a gift to this father and mother. They were meant to be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them such a good child, yet they are engaged in transgression. Okay, the example of smoking, it all depends on how heavily a person smokes. Though in Islam, we all know it is a very bad habit. We should try and give it up. May Allah make it easy for those who are smoking to give it up. We don't hate anyone for anything, inshallah, but we will try and help them. But now when it comes to a person eating interest, yes, it definitely means that they have spoiled their reproductive system with haram. Imagine if those reproductive organs have produced fluids with haram money, do you think that child is going to be steadfast in the right direction? Unless Allah has mercy on the child. So it is very dangerous. Many of us have not gone as far as that. We look at the wealth, we see, oh, it's money, let's eat it. Not realizing that even a single gram of haram will never enter Jannah, and as a result it will cause the curse upon one's own offspring thereafter. So many people are complaining about their children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Is our food halal or haram? The hadith says people make dua, but their food haram, their drink haram, their clothing haram, their eating haram, everything is haram. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer such a person's dua? May Allah make it easy for us. We cannot declare war against Allah by eating interest. Leave it. No matter how big the figures and how big the percentages, we need to leave it for the pleasure of Allah. Remember, there are certain things that we will achieve without wealth, like barakah. Barakah comes, you can't pay and say, right, I need barakah, I need blessings. Here's ₹1,000,000, give me blessings. It doesn't come. And there are some happiness, contentment, steadfastness, piety. These things you don't pay for them. They come when a person dedicates his life to his Creator and leaves certain things which displease his Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create pleasure in that person's life. May Allah create pleasure in our own lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of several du'as. And I'm going to end on this. The du'as that are mentioned in the Quran are so powerful. We should try and read them, understand them, and continue calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them. Listen to this du'a. I'm sure almost all of us know it by heart. رَبَّنَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this immediately after he says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden anyone except that much which the person can actually take. So sometimes we feel, no, I can't take this anymore. To be honest, it's a condition of the mind. If you are to tune your mind, you will be able to take it. Because Allah does not burden anyone with more than they can shoulder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا O our Rabb, do not punish us or do not take account against us wherever and whenever we have erred or forgotten. Wherever and whenever we have forgotten or erred. So we are asking for forgiveness from error and forgetfulness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that dua. So if we make that dua, then inshallah, wherever we have forgotten or made a mistake, we will always be forgiven. This is sunnah to repeat every morning and evening, this dua. Then Allah continues to say, Rabbana,
Rabbana wala tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina.
O Allah, do not burden us with the burdens that you burdened upon those before us. We all know what happened to Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun and so on. And what happened to them, we don't want it to happen to us. That is the dua. And the last part of the dua is probably the most powerful.
رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ.
O Allah, do not burden us with that which we have no strength to shoulder. Do not test us with a test that is too big for us to pass, Ya Allah. That is the dua.
وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا.
Forgive us, have mercy on us. You are indeed our master. So therefore, assist us against the disbelievers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong with these du'as at all times. Let's make a du'a. Ya Allah, do not shoulder upon our, or do not put on our shoulders, do not place on our shoulders that which will be too difficult to shoulder or to hold or to even cope with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also another dua in Surah Ali Imran.
رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ.
O Allah, do not let us drift into misguidance after you have guided us. So many times we make a resolve. Ya Allah, I'm never going to commit this sin again. A week passes without committing the sin. Then we start scratching our heads. No, that shouldn't happen to us. This is the dua. So many times we resolve, we want to read our salah. 1 week, we read 5 salah a day. Then suddenly we begin to scratch our heads. So many times we resolve, we want to do something. After you have guided us, have mercy on us and give it to us as a gift, for indeed you are the one who gives gifts. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.